It is the privilege and joy of the Handmaids of the Precious Blood to bring to you a spiritual conference given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin's conferences have proved to be of invaluable inspiration to priests, religious, and laity alike, particularly in these days of unrest and turmoil. Father Hardin is professor of systematic theology at the Jesuit School of Theology, Loyola University, Chicago. Father conducts a course in Catholic higher education at St. John's University in Jamaica, New York. He is a well-known author, lecturer, and consultant to various national religious and educational enterprises, and is renowned as a retreat master and spiritual director. Father Hardin is the author of the Catholic Catechism, a contemporary catechism written according to the norms established by the Holy See in the new General Catechetical Directory. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Faith, the Foundation of the Christian Life. Father Hardin.
There are so many reasons why we should speak on the subject of faith. But I suppose the principal reason is because there is, in the church today, a crisis of faith. Whereby crisis we mean a time of decision, when all in the church, from members of the hierarchy, through the priests, religious, and down to the lowliest laity, we are all called upon to decide what we believe and why and how we should act on the faith we profess. I would like to address myself to three aspects of this huge subject of faith. First, by very simply asking ourselves and briefly answering the question, what is faith? Then, more pertinently and practically, why is it important? And finally, we who have the faith, how can we grow and develop in this virtue, which is the substratum of everything else? It is not coincidental or merely euphonic that we speak of the three theological virtues as faith, hope, and charity, because without faith there is nothing to hope for, and without faith there is no reason for loving. What then is faith? Before we address ourselves to our own Christian faith, it might be well for a few moments to reflect on the fact that all people believe, honestly, there really are no people who are truly unbelievers. In fact, in order to stop believing, one would almost have to stop living. The only question is, what does a person believe in? Let's pause to ask ourselves, what is almost the first thing that we recognize about a young child? Isn't it the trustful confidence in mother, father, and those who surround him? How instinctively we believed, past tense, as children in people. Yet as a matter of fact, as we grow into childhood and later adulthood, isn't it true that we continued believing and trusting people? When we began to learn how to talk, was our first spontaneous reaction to ask, say, Mother, well, how do you know that the first letter of the alphabet is A? We took it for granted that what we were taught first at home, then at school, we ought to accept. Who would ever read a book unless we believed in the author we are reading? Who would ever engage in business, buy whatever the person needs, unless we trusted the person who sells us what we buy? Who would ever get married? What a sublime act of faith. Unless she believed in him and he believed in her. All social relations among human beings would stop. Society would cease to exist unless it were built on one cosmic act of faith. I think it is of some moment, before we enter more deeply into our subject, just to remind ourselves that this being a believer is not something exotic or strange. It is the most human thing in the world. So much so that I don't hesitate redefining Aristotle's definition of man. You know how he defines man, as a rational animal. Well, having lived with myself for some years, having dealt with so many people over the years, I'm not sure that most people, most of the time, behave rationally. I would rather like to call man the believing animal. It is for this reason, and here we make the transition, that John the Evangelist, in one incredulous statement, asks, how is it that we who are so ready to believe in men are so slow to believe in God? Talk about simple, credulous faith of millions of our fellow Americans burying themselves, some for hours a day, in a newspaper or watching and listening to television, up to, I am told statistically, on an average, between 25 and 30 hours a week per American among our 200 million people. Simple faith. So we address John's question to ourselves. And our answer is, it is strange that people should be so willing to believe in their fellow men and so slow to believe in God. What then is this Christian faith of ours? It is in its way not different structurally or psychologically from our faith in human beings. What do we do when we believe? We accept on someone else's word because we trust the person. We accept on his word what he presumably knows more about than we do. And we take his word for it. We assent, therefore, in mind to what we do not ourselves understand because we trust the one in whom we believe. Believing, therefore, in God means accepting on his word, which means on his revelation, not because we understand what he reveals, but because we trust that God, being all wise, knows, and being absolutely honest, would not deceive. At this point, a panorama of mysteries stands before our eyes. The Trinity, the Incarnation, the Real Presence, our baptismal incorporation into Christ, the priesthood, the religious life, our own mysterious exercise of liberty, that we have the power to say yes, but also to say no to God, and that we shall finally be judged, that there is a life after this one that will never end. All of this, we believe. With that as a brief introduction into something of what faith is, we ask ourselves, why is faith so important? It is important because ultimately, without faith, there is no religion of any kind, least of all the Christian religion, less still Catholic Christianity. Everything in Christianity which is Christian is a matter of faith. It has all been revealed to us, and we accept it just because God said it is true. But as we begin to articulate the importance of this faith of ours, we can isolate four features of its importance, which I should like to say something about. This faith of ours gives us vision. As a consequence of vision, we acquire convictions. Because we have convictions, we have courage. And having all these, we find a meaning not only in life but in everything that, as we casually say, happens to us in life. We see it has a purpose. Without faith, nothing has meaning. With faith, nothing is meaningless. Faith then gives us vision. We should not be embarrassed by a word like vision, in spite of the pejorative use in so much modern literature about, well, the visionary mentality. We, because we have the faith, can see. That's what vision means. We can see with the mind what those who may be more intelligent than we, and many people who do not share our faith, can be, as I trust you agree, more intelligent than we are. No matter, we can see what they, for all their intellectual capacity, cannot see. Have you ever had the occasion of stopping in a church or chapel, say of an afternoon, when no one is there except a few workmen repairing or painting, and watching them with their caps on, talking, joking, and walking in front of the tabernacle as though it was just another box? No fault of theirs. They don't see. We see with the eyes of faith. Behind what looks like bread, our Creator, in human form. Is it any wonder that tragically so many priests are turning their backs on their priestly ministry? Very simple, though pathetic, explanation. They have, to a greater or less extent, ceased to believe in their priesthood. Or of men and women, after maybe years, under vows, leaving everything as casually as though they were walking out of a supermarket. Many explanations, scores of them, somewhere the reason is a darkening, a weakening of faith. Because we believe, We know that lisping words, sometimes strangely articulated, stating things we only vaguely comprehend, why do we believe these words are pleasing to God? Because we believe that when we pray, we are united with God. You see, we who believe see. In the degree to which our faith is strong and clear, this vision gives us convictions. I would describe conviction as being sure you've got the truth. You know, it's one thing to possess the truth, as it is, say, to possess any great gift. It's another thing to be aware of the fact that you have the truth. It's the being sure you are sure that I describe as conviction. It is another word for certainty. It is being secure in mind that what I know, I will never have to unknow, because the God who revealed it will never change. How terribly the world around us needs men and women of conviction. This is a skeptical world. It is a wandering world. It is a confused world. It is a questioning world that is questioning everything, including its purpose of existence. What a mandate we have from God, we who have been given the faith and are given the opportunity of deepening our faith, to be witnesses of certitude in an uncertain world. Is life worth living? We are sure it is. Millions are not so sure. Is there a God? Of course there is. Millions don't know. Does he love me? Sure he does. Millions are not aware. If faith gives us vision, and what flows from vision, conviction, both essentially belonging to the mind, it has a deep influence on our affective faculties, notably our will and emotions. Faith gives us unbounded courage. Fortitude, as the world so much needs, because in spite of all its bravado and its brave front, honest, it's mostly facade. This is a fearful world. It is a terrified world. It is a world haunted by the dreams of its own imagination. It is a cowardly world. it needs us. And our courage depends on our faith. Sure, we have a past. Who doesn't? But God is merciful. Sure, we have an uncertain future. Well, not really. It's uncertain because we don't see it. But trusting as we do in God, we have courage to face this future because, as I like to describe faith, it is walking hand in hand with God through the darkness of life until the eternal dawn. And how I'm looking forward to that dawn. Finally, this faith of ours gives meaning to everything in our lives, to such a degree that as believers, even though we use the language, we don't mean what we say. Nothing ever happens. Everything is part of the providence of God. Is it good because we like it? Or is it bad because we don't like it? No matter, God has a purpose. It must be a good one. He knows. He's God. So much for the first and second dimensions of our subject. We still have one more.
Please turn over to side B.